Let's begin with a word of prayer. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, our hearts swell with thanksgiving unto Thee and praise and adoration, Lord, toward Thy high and holy name, for Thou art so worthy. Lord, we thank Thee for times such as this where we are able to be in Thine house, to have Thy familiar word before us, and to have expectation of an hour of worship of Thy great and holy name. And so, Father, blessed be Thy name. We thank Thee for this opportunity and pray, Lord, that we would redeem this time, that we would use it wisely, that we would be attentive to Thy Holy Spirit speaking to us, and that, Lord, Thy message to us would be clear. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles and read chapter number 1, the first 14 verses. Acts chapter 1, first 14 verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. This was certainly an interesting time in the point of history of this world, but more importantly than simply a point in time in history and an interesting point of time, it was a time that was pivotal. It was a time when our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who came here upon this earth, and in as he is deity, came here upon this earth and took upon himself flesh and blood, had taught the people, had left for us his message, and has done that which was good and right in God's sight. And now he's going back to his Father, from whom he was sent. And we're reading this at this time. And then so what happens here now is that the apostles and the disciples, the first disciples, were making a beginning on their own without the physical presence of the Lord Jesus. So this was the beginnings of the church. And again, this was a very pivotal time in history. It was very careful that they began this process, that they began this ministry on the right foot, doing it the right way, and going in the strength of the Lord as the church begins. And so the beloved physician Luke begins this book by writing, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." So he's writing here, and he's talking about the Gospel of Luke, that former book that he had written. And he was very careful to write those things which Jesus both taught and the things that he did. That is what a treatise is. It's a writing that examines a topic very carefully and very thoroughly. And when we look at the scriptures, we look at, particularly at Luke and at the Acts of the Apostles, that there was much effort in getting that wording right and getting being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the things that needed to be written. And so Luke does this, and he writes about the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. It's very important that we understand that this is what was very important, what Jesus was teaching and what Jesus was doing. That was very prominent. It was very important what he was doing. And so it was captured. And that which Jesus had said was captured. And it's been preserved. It's been preserved even until this day, that we can know the words of Jesus Christ, knowing that his words are life. And so we are thankful for that precious gift that God had put in place, that it would happen, that the word of God would be preserved throughout all ages. And so he's speaking here of how Jesus was seen. And this is very important, how Jesus was seen by many, and there was many infallible proofs of his resurrection. So that after the time that he rose from the grave, after he rose from the dead, that many had seen him, and that he was made manifest to many by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, speaking unto them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he had done that before he was crucified. He was speaking unto them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so now he's saying to them, as they were all gathered together, he says, Jesus commands his disciples, saying, "Don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." This was about to happen. And Jesus is telling them, what I've been telling you about, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, He's coming, and he's going to be sent from the Father, and you're going to be baptized with that Holy Spirit not many days after from this moment. And so they were in anticipation of that. And certainly the Lord Jesus is telling them with great force and with great excitement, perhaps, that the Holy Spirit is coming, and he's going to be working great things in you. And that Holy Spirit is going to, his power is going to be made manifest in you. And you will note it. And you're going to have difficulty in your life. There's going to be things that are coming here that are very difficult. And so it was that we read in the next chapter that about 10 days later, that the Holy Spirit came. And it abode on the apostles and on the disciples and on the devout men that were there. And the power of the Holy Spirit was revealed to them. The power of the Spirit was revealed to them. And the Spirit was reminding them of the things that Jesus Christ had said. And so we look back here a few chapters in John's Gospel about what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit and what he will do for them. Jesus says to his disciples, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." So again, note that wording, that the Holy Ghost will come from the Father and will be sent in the name of Jesus. "He," The Holy Ghost shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have told you. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's how the church made their beginning there after Jesus ascended back to his Father. That the power of the Holy Ghost was there, who was sent from the Father in the name of Jesus. He was teaching them and reminding them of all things that Jesus had taught them. Further, Jesus says to them, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." The Holy Spirit would testify of Jesus Christ, and that Holy Spirit would come from the Father. It is the Spirit of truth. And then he further says, "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." And so the Holy Spirit was working, and we see that the Holy Spirit was working in the apostles' life throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And so, even as we pray together, this book might be titled as well, "The Acts of the Holy Spirit, as shown through the apostles." Because the Holy Spirit was working in the apostles, and it was made manifest. This Comforter, this Spirit of truth, was sent from the Father, was testifying of Jesus Christ, and was made and his power was made manifest over and over throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the early church, in the apostles. And so he's telling them, this Holy Ghost, you will be baptized with him in not many days hence, not many days hereafter. And so their response to that was, when they were gathered together, they said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore unto us the kingdom of Israel?" They missed it. They still weren't getting it, what Jesus was teaching them, and how he was teaching them before his crucifixion about the kingdom of God, and then now after his resurrection, that he's teaching them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then they're asking, "Wilt thou at this time restore unto us the kingdom of Israel?" God's kingdom is a great and everlasting kingdom. The kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of any nation on this earth is great until it's not, until there's another kingdom that's greater than it. But the kingdom of God is an eternal kingdom, and it is a great kingdom. And we rejoice in this kingdom. And when you do a word search on the kingdom in the Bible, you see it come up over and over multiple times, that Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, over and over. There's that familiar chapter in Matthew 13 where Jesus is speaking of the kingdom of heaven and what it's likened unto. He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." The kingdom of God is great, and it's an everlasting kingdom. And when one realizes the greatness of the kingdom of God, they get rid of everything else and go to obtain that kingdom of heaven. There's nothing greater. And Jesus is telling them about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." The kingdom of God is great, and it's an everlasting kingdom. It's to be sought after. The kingdoms of this world come and go. There's been many, many, many kingdoms of this world, and they've all come and gone. But the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. And we are to rejoice in this kingdom that it has been given unto us and that we can be a part of. And so Jesus responds to them by saying, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. He's telling them, after that power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you're going to witness both locally, Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and then also to the uttermost parts of the earth. They would be witnesses for Jesus Christ. They would be speaking of what Jesus had taught them and what the Holy Spirit would reveal to them. And that they did. And we can read many places in the Acts of the Apostles how they witnessed of Jesus. Jesus' resurrection was made foolproof. It was by many infallible proofs that Jesus showed himself alive. And this made a big difference in their time. They couldn't speak against it. And so the apostles went forth and witnessed of the resurrection of Jesus and the reason why Jesus came. So we read in chapter 5, "The God of our fathers," Peter speaking to the people, "hath raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given unto them that obey him." They were witnessing. They're saying that, and they're witnessing that of these things, that what Jesus had taught and what he had spoken, and how the God of their fathers had raised up Jesus and made him to be alive. They were witnessing of these things. Jesus had spoken to the Apostle Paul in a vision by night. And Jesus speaks to Paul after he had gone through some severe persecutions and difficulties in his presentation of the gospel. And he's saying, the Lord Jesus to Paul, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace." Don't stop witnessing. Don't stop preaching about Jesus. Don't stop teaching about Jesus. He says, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." This is what he spake to them as they witnessed. It was a beautiful time in the time of the apostles, how the church had made its beginning. But yet there was difficulty. There was difficulty in that some of the things that, as they were sharing the word of God, as they were being witnesses of the truth of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and his power working in them, there was difficulty in there, in that time. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God." We want to be a part of God's kingdom because it's an everlasting kingdom, because it's a great kingdom. We want to be a part of that kingdom. And Jesus says, "Except ye be born again, ye shall not see the kingdom of God." You won't be a part of that kingdom unless you're born again. And then Nicodemus says, "Well, how can these things be?" And Jesus says again to them, "He that is not born of water and of spirit cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." We cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. We cannot be a part of that kingdom if we're not born again, if we're not born of the Spirit, and if he's not alive in us. And so the Holy Ghost was working in them, and this is how the church began. And that power was in them. And they understood this kingdom, this everlasting kingdom, this great kingdom. Jesus also taught the people, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." We receive the kingdom of God through being born again, through endurance and through perseverance. That's how we will receive the kingdom of God and be a part of this great kingdom that he is calling us to. We need to be born again. We cannot enter his kingdom without being born again. All things new, letting his Holy Spirit direct us and guide us in all things, as it was here for the early church. "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." The Apostle Paul, again, had some difficulty, and he was at one point here, he was almost stoned to death. And then later on, he's confirming, he goes to Antioch, and he confirms this, the souls of the disciples, and he exhorts them to continue in the faith with perseverance into this kingdom of heaven. We receive the kingdom of heaven by being born again, by enduring, and by having perseverance. And he's telling them, you need to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, again, I've said it before, but this is an oddity. This is not normal that we as a church are not persecuted. That's not normal. The church throughout history has been persecuted. There has been tribulation set on against the church, against the believers. And there are yet in this day in various countries where believers of Jesus Christ, those who make their allegiance with the Lord Jesus and not a communist leader or some other leader of the country, that they are persecuted. And there may come a time where we will be persecuted because our allegiance is with our King Jesus. Our allegiance is not with the government of the land where we reside or where we have our citizenship. And so this is a hallmark of the early church, is that they were part of an everlasting kingdom. And so they were witnesses, and they witnessed of the things that they had heard and the things that they had seen Jesus do. And then they also taught. Jesus taught, Luke begins this book of the Acts of the Apostle, where he says that Jesus, he wrote of the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And so they went forth, and now they're teaching as well. And they're teaching what Jesus was teaching as well. And they were teaching, first of all, of God's love. Because again, if God's love wasn't there, what would it matter if we were diligent in witnessing? Would God have given unto us the Holy Spirit if he wasn't love? We love him because he first loved us. And so, without God's love, there is nothing. So we have to understand that first there's God's love. And then to that we can respond. And God's love has been made manifest. It is immeasurable and it is great. And he wants us to be a part of his kingdom. And he doesn't want anyone to be lost, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. And so they went forth and they taught. And they taught the people that God is love. And God wants you to be saved. God, they went forth and they taught the people that they need to repent. Peter began right away in this next chapter after the people accused them of being drunk with wine when they were actually filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, these aren't drunken. And he tells them about what God had done through Jesus Christ. And they responded by saying, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he says, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of the sin, of your sins, and you shall receive this gift of the power of the Holy Ghost. And so that message that Jesus, well, that beginning with John the Baptist, where he said to repent, and then Jesus began his ministry by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then the apostles, the early church, began their ministry likewise with the same message. Repent. Turn from your evil ways. Turn from sin. Walk no longer in them. Die to self. Rise up new. Walk in newness of life. Be baptized and allow the Holy Spirit to direct your life. And so this is what they were teaching. There was a time when the apostles were put into a prison, and the angel of the Lord opened that prison, and that angel told them, go, "Stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go and teach. Go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and teach the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and they taught. And they taught. And they taught Jesus Christ. And they spoke of him. They spoke of none other and no other way. But they spoke the words that Jesus Christ had spoken. And that message went out clear. That's how the church made their beginning. And then at the end of this chapter of Acts 5, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." This was the message of Jesus Christ, the message that the Son of God came here upon this earth that he might save sinners, that they don't have to die, that they don't have to go to hell and be separated from God for eternity, that there is power in the Holy Spirit to turn from evil ways. And these apostles were witnessing and testifying to these things, and they were preaching and teaching Jesus Christ continuously over and over to the people. Luke concludes this gospel or this book of the Acts of the Apostles by saying that Paul was in Rome. Paul was in Rome. Though he may have been a Roman citizen, Caesar was not his king. His king was King Jesus. And he was a part of the everlasting kingdom, not a kingdom of this world. Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight. But my kingdom is not from hence." It's not from here. Are we a part of the kingdom of God? Is that more precious to us than the things that of having a belonging or a citizenship or a possession here in this life? And so Paul was in Rome here at the end of his life, and the Acts of the Apostles concludes with that Paul was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. This is what the Apostle Paul did. He continually preached Jesus Christ. He continually was preaching about the kingdom of God, a greater kingdom than those that any man has ever known otherwise. This is how the church began, in the power of the Holy Spirit, by ensuring that they were part of the kingdom of God and not a kingdom of this earth. Because there was all those churches that the Apostle Paul had gone to, and even those back in Jerusalem and in Judea. And all of them, they were all of various citizenships, but they all belong to the one kingdom, and that is the kingdom of God. And so this is how the church made its beginning, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through being a part of the kingdom of God, being witnesses of Jesus, teaching Jesus. And then this last verse that we read here together says that they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And the women were there too. And Jesus' mother and his brethren as well. This is another hallmark of the early church, is that they all continued together in one accord in prayer. And we read a few chapters later also that they were continually giving themselves over unto prayer. Again, another hallmark of the early church. This is what made them to be strong, because they were connected with their God. They made their supplications, they made their requests being made known to King Jesus, to their king of that kingdom to which they belonged. This is how the early church began. This is how the church today needs to continue. No different. In the power of the Holy Spirit, leaning upon him. He can do great things. We cannot. Our strength is limited. Our abilities are limited. Our knowledge is limited. Our wisdom is limited. We stammer with our tongues. Our minds don't think clearly. But the power of the Holy Spirit can do great things. It happened in the early church, and it can yet happen today. The power of the Holy Spirit is not diminished at all today. If we yield to Him, He will provide. We are to continually pray to the Lord, yielding ourselves to Him, acknowledging that we have need of Him, that He would give unto us our daily necessities, and that He would protect us from all harm and evil, and that we would recognize, too, that our prayers are lacking sometimes, and that we can be comforted that Jesus is interceding for us as well. So we have faith in these things, and we practice these things, and we witness of these things, and we rejoice in Him. And so may unto Him be all honor and glory as we continue the church throughout all ages, even in today. Amen.